Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
The title to it says, "You Will Not Abandon My Soul." Listen as I read. "Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrow of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, and you hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night, and also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Pray with me. Lord Jehovah, what a contrast between those who call upon the Lord and those who run after another god. You preserve us, you give counsel, you amend our hearts so that we would follow your path. We do not chase after you, rather you come to us and ask simply that we abide, that we rest in you. We thank you for your abiding presence. May we have an attitude of gratitude like David's. Help us go deeper with you. We thank you for the glorious promise of eternal life after our time on earth is done. We commend our pastor, Jose, to you. We ask that you fill him the same spirit that you filled those early Christians on Pentecost Sunday. Lord, whether he break out in tongues of mystery, whether you give him words of discernment, knowledge, deep teaching, we look forward to your Holy Spirit working through his life that we might be built up for service. May the words upon his lips be the words you want us, in fact, you need us to hear, so that the words in this psalm become our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a story of a father and son a few years ago where they planned a hiking trip during the Rocky Mountains, and it was late in the fall. And the father was well taught how to read and how to navigate when you're out in the wilderness, how to take a compass and a map and find your direction. And but this was a new place for the Father and the Son. And they made a decision early in the morning, you know what, we're not going to take a guide with us, and we're going to go on our own, and we're going to follow the blue trail, right? And for those of you who do any kind of hiking or traveling through the woods, once you identify a trail, all the trails are usually marked either by a color tag on a tree, a stone that's placed with a color marking, and all of these markings are supposed to lead you through a specific trail, but ultimately be able to lead you back home. As I said, they started out early in the morning, and somewhere along the line, they missed a turn. And they were high up in the mountain, and all of a sudden, this beautiful sunny day turned into a cloudy, windy afternoon. It started to get late. They were hungry. They were cold. And all of a sudden, they knew, the Father knew, that they were lost. They were off the path. They knew for about an hour and a half that they just made a complete circle on this mountain ridge. And the Father didn't want to show his nervousness or that he was scared, so he was trying to encourage his son. And all of a sudden, from a distance, they heard, "Hey, boys, are you lost?" It was a forest ranger, right? And all of a sudden, right, it's at those moments, right, it's, especially if you're a guy, right, it's whether you're going to admit that you are lost or not lost, right? It's, and the Father was just, "Yes, we lost our way," right? And the ranger comes and says, "Well, you are just a few yards off from the trail that leads us back down. Let me show you," right? And at that moment, the son looks at the father and says, "I know we are in the same woods, but I'm not scared right now." Right? And it's because they were on the right path, right? And that's pretty much the question that today's message is going to ask you is, are you on the right path? Do you have the marks that will get you to and keep you on the right path? Right? Just like the marks on the tree would keep a hiker on the right path. And that's a question David, King David, was asking in this Psalm 16. Right, and it's a question that comes from a place of being in a long relationship with God. And the question is, right, is all of this going to come to an end when I die? Right, it's the question you and I have. Even though we believe in God and we are blessed because we see the full story that Scripture has for us, still in the midst of that, we ask, right, like, what's going to happen when we die? Right? And that's the same pressing question David had, right? And you're going to see, right, he presents his plea, right? And then for the next seven verses, he makes an argument for who God is for him, right? And the question is that if this is the God who is for him, is this the same God who is for you and for me, right? And as we travel, we'll discover these marks, right? And then in the end, right, by the end of verse 8, we return back to his plea, right? Because David knew, right? David knew, based on what was said to him, that he was going to be in the same place of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And sometimes every time we go to a funeral and we stand there to remember and celebrate the life of our family member and friend, we too are reminded. Is there something beyond this? Right, and the answer is, well, are you on the right path? Is God everything that he says he is for you and for me, for us to be on the right path? Right? So that is what we are going to look at. A miktam of David, and that word miktam is a covering. Right? And the picture there of it being a covering, it's almost as if somebody's covering their mouth, whispering to somebody else, right? It is something that is very personal, very intimate, right? And sometimes that's how you and I are as we're praying to God. We're praying to God in quiet, right? Because it's sometimes it's hard to even utter a word to the very thing that has our heart on the edge, right? Am I on the right path? Right? And here's what I need you to do as we go through these verses, right? I need you to put emotion into the reading of these verses, because if you put emotion to it, it will allow you to go to a place that sometimes we are very reserved in not wanting to go. So allow David, as he communicates these words to us, to take us to that place where David went to, right? Here's how he starts. Preserve me, O God. Preserve me, O God. Save me, O God. Right? And that God is Elohim, the creator. There's nobody above this God that David is asking of this petition. Right? And here's the thing, right? We don't know what David needs saving from. Not here yet. We don't know what David needs preserving from or for. But he needs God to do something for him. Preserve me, O God. And all of a sudden, he diverts, because he doesn't tell us until verse 8 what he needs preserving from. But he starts to exalt God for who he is. In you I take refuge. The very God who he's looking For God to save and to preserve, he and he alone is the one he's taking refuge, where he is going for, Lord, cover me. There's nobody else who can do this for me, right? Again, put the emotion in there. Let your heart be broken for a moment. In you, I take refuge. Then he says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Right? And that first Lord is all capital. Right? And Jehovah. I say to Jehovah, you are my Lord. And you see that it's capital L, lowercase, and that's Adonai. I say to Jehovah, my Adonai. I say to the Lord, you are my master. You're the one that I'm looking for covering. You are the one that I'm looking to preserve and to save me. Right? And that's why sometimes we say this in our quiet, secret places of our prayers as we're making this petition, because it's almost as if I don't want nobody other than God to hear this. Now, let me ask you, is this your God? Is this your Jehovah? Is this your Adonai? Right? So as we look for the marks, right, it's, is this God the one you take refuge in for protection and covering? Is he your Lord? Is he your sovereign God? I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Right, the first part of verse 3, right? I have no good apart from you. Right? There's nothing good apart from the Lord, Jehovah, his Adonai, his Elohim. Nothing good. Meaning that God and God alone is his greatest possession and treasure. Nothing else. But God and God alone. Is that who God is for you as another mark? Right? Or are we looking at the world for all these other things that we feel we need or we don't have? Right? Is he enough for you? For me. And then he would say, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Now, he's not lifting all of the believers in God above God, but he is saying that when I see those who are interacting with God, they bring delight to me because they too have God as their refuge. They have God as their Jehovah. They have God as their Adonai. There is nothing else other than God. Is that your God? Is that the one that you are seeking? Is that the one who has you on a path? The sorrow of those who run after other gods shall multiply. Their drink offering of blood I will not pour out or take their name on my lips. Right? He's saying there's no other God, no one else that I am going to pursue, because there is only one. And he says, it's a shame that those who run after all those gods, their sorrow is just going to multiply. Their drink offering, right? Some of your translations would say libation, right? It's that old term. Right? But here's what David says. Not even their names will be on my lips. I'm not even going to waste any time, any energy. Because at the end of the day, you are the one who is my refuge. You are the one who is my Jehovah. You are the one who are my Adonai. You are my good treasure. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Right? He says three things to say the same thing. Right? That God and God alone is his God. He says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Right? And here's what I need you to see, right? When he says the lines have fallen for me, right? That God has placed certain boundaries around him, and he has learned to trust those boundaries. They're there for his protection. They're there for our protection. They're there so that we would be in relationship with the holy God. These are lines that are there. And yes, sometimes we go right up to the edge. And we know from David's life that he crossed that line, right? With his acts with Bathsheba. But he's saying, after learning all that I've learned, right? Those boundaries are there for my good. And when he says that he has received a beautiful inheritance, right? It is God who is that inheritance. It isn't a thing, and it isn't the stuff we acquire, but it's the idea that being in a relationship with God is enough. Is God enough for you? Is he enough? Would you be satisfied with God being your inheritance? Right? So you can see, right, that he starts off with, right, I need this from you, Lord. And from that petition, he's just been climbing. He's been climbing, right? He has a destination that he's going to. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Is he your counselor? Because here's the thing, when God's your counselor, right, and you become open to what he has for you, his counsel will say to you, maybe today you need refuge. Maybe today you need his covering. Maybe today, out of all the days in your life, right, he is the one who is guiding you down this path It might not be as clear. It might be narrow. It's a path that not too many people take, right? But it's a path that leads to life. So do you have those marks? Is he your refuge? Is he your sovereign Lord? Is he your treasure? Is he your counsel? In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Isn't that an amazing journey that he just took? Right? He went from a place of preserve me to now making a statement, I am not going to be shaken. Right? And that is because God is who God is to him. So my question is, is that who God is to you and for you? Right? And here's the pinnacle. Therefore, my heart is glad. Right? It's a big different picture from where we started. And my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Are you secure today? In your life? Are you secure in your relationship with God? Right? So you can see the progression of this psalm. It starts at this request, right? It's almost as if he forgot the request, right? And little by little, right? He's exalting God for who he is. He is my Lord. There's nothing good other than God himself. He is my sovereign God. He is my refuge. He is my counsel. Therefore, I will not be shaken. My heart is glad. I rejoice. My flesh also dwells secure. Right then. I believe David wants to believe something, but he has doubts. Right, he is making an assessment. He is taking an inventory of certain things that he knows of God in relationship to God. He says, as a result of all that, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm secure. But then there's an issue. He might not be so secure, right? He might not be so unshakable, right? And also we come back to, right? What is it that David needs saving from? What is it that David needs rescuing from? For, right? When you read that word for, it's almost as if you're reading because, as a result of, right? You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, right? There's the problem, right? My soul, my body is going to go into the ground. And I'm going to be just like my forefathers, right? And you might ask yourself, well, did David know that? Well, right, it's Here's what Nathan said to David. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? In other words, that phrasing is, I'm going into the ground and I am going to decay just like they have decayed. I will rise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne for his kingdom forever. Right. So these are the words that Nathan the prophet spoke to David, and as if God himself was speaking to David. He says, there's going to come a day where you are going to die. You're going to go with your fathers. However, I'm going to bring one from your lineage, one of your sons, who's going to be a Messiah. His kingdom is going to reign forever. The idea of all these other kings coming up and dying is going to stop. So David knew. He knew. And in the process of knowing, right, here's the question. If I live and have a relationship with such a good God, is that relationship going to stop when I die? No, Lord, I want it to go on forever. And we're grateful for Scripture, right? Because Scripture also gives us the answers that we need in reference of that assurance, right? Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. That was David's promise, just like it's our promise. But here's the thing, David knew certain things, but he did not know what we know. Right? Sometimes when we read scriptures like this, we point to the New Testament because the New Testament references these verses on the day of Pentecost that Peter would reference. And sometimes we would say, well, isn't that the purpose of the Old Testament? To point us to the fulfillment? And I would say most of the time, right? But I would say that Peter's use of these verses in the New Testament is really more so to support the main idea that God wanted to communicate to us in Psalm 16. That the very issue that David had of preserving, save me, let me be in an ongoing relationship with you, God, is what Peter was emphasizing in Acts 1. And we will see that, right? So if you was to go to Acts 2, I meant, right? So in Acts 2, we see what happens after the Holy Spirit comes, right? Many different people from many different backgrounds are communicating empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then in the end, those that are observing would say, huh, they must be drunk. It's early in the morning, right? And Peter would correct that. But there's a part in Acts 2 that can help us, right? If you go to verse 29, right, I'm going to read, right, all the way to verse 32. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foreknew and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Isn't that good news? Right? But here's the thing. David knew, right, of what God was going to do, but he didn't know how, right? Like sometimes you and I don't know, well, how's God going to work this out? We, from our perspective, we have a little bit more of insight because we see the fulfillment of it in Christ. But you can hear it, right? For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption, right? He didn't want to decay, right? You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. There's that tension in Scripture, that tension between, Lord, I want to believe and have assurance of my faith, and that when I do take my last breath here, I would be ushered right into the presence of your throne. And guess where we find ourselves? Preserve me, Lord, right? With that emotion. And then if you, like David, what do? You start listing. You are my refuge. You are my Lord. You are my Adonai. You are my counsel. You are my sovereign God. There is no other that I'm going to, because only you and you alone can give me what I need. Yes, I'm grateful when I come together and worship with God's saints. I see you all, because all of you are worshiping the same God. Hopefully, right? Hopefully. But that there would be these pleasures forevermore. See, and Peter knew of this tension that was in the air, right? Because here's what Peter writes in 1 Peter, starting at verse 11. Concerning their salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. Right? There's that tension. They searched, they knew, but they weren't able to reconcile that the way we are able to reconcile that. So are you on the right path? Do you have the marks that show you and show the world that God is your God? Are you on the path that leads to life? Right? And here's a question, right? Right? You can't go wrong counting on God. You might not totally understand, right, what his word says, right? But you can't go wrong, right, when you have a question, Lord, preserve me, right? Knowing that God is the one who made a way where there was no way. He's the one that has secured your personal guide if you're willing to follow him. Is he your refuge? Is he your sovereign God? Is he your treasure? Is he your counselor? And if he's all those things for you, then guess what we get to do is we get to rejoice. We get to enjoy all that he is for us. And not worry about this world. Not worry about what and who is doing, right? Not worrying about none of it, right? It's like, Lord, thank you. Right? Because if he is your God, right? Nothing can go wrong. And I'll finish with this, right? It's Romans 8:11 says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you, right? Now that's a big if, right? That Holy Spirit that came over 2,000 years ago, the very one we celebrate today as we remember on Pentecost Sunday, right? Is he in you? Because if he's in you, then that same potential question, Lord, save me, preserve me, we have an answer in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word of encouragement. And Lord, I pray now, as we get ready to close our time together this morning, that you would be more than our God, that you would be our refuge, that you would be our sovereign God, our treasure, our counselor, that as we trust in you, that we would be saved and preserved, not only bodily, but spiritually. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to worship you, the living and true God, Jesus. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.